It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She is over there in Switzerland, but soon she will be on the move, I have a feeling. But meantime, prove me wrong.
Hello, Jill.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Yes, things are clearing up in Europe, generally speaking, and in Switzerland specifically. The COVID-19 cases are decreasing by the day. The vaccinated people are increasing by the day, and all of this is announcing probably a summer of traveling. Talking about traveling, we are going to travel together to Cornwall today to discuss a little bit the G7 meeting of 2021. As a reminder, the countries belonging to the G7 are the United Kingdom, where the meeting took place, the United States, Japan, Italy, Germany, France, Canada. And in spite of the fact that Chinese officials warned the leaders that the days when small groups of countries decided the fate of the world were long gone, it is absolutely correct to say that the decision taken by the G7 have shown already in the past to be somewhat effective, depending on the subjects, of course, but definitely showing the determination to achieve something in terms of working together instead of each country trying to work things out on its own. That took place between the 11th and the 13th of June in Cornwall, an absolutely magnificent region of England. It is over now, and the next very big event will take place this Wednesday in Geneva, and that will be the meeting between the United States President and Putin. So, coming back to the G7, I think it's worth mentioning the topic that they agreed on, or at least talked about. They have also issued common goals, common aim, and besides being quite a friendly meeting, including also the Queen of England, it has been a very productive meeting. Of course, we will see what is going to bring some results and what is going to be realistic, but a few decisions have been made. So the global action has different aspects. One is obviously to try to end the pandemic for good. And that would be only possible if vaccines are available in the world. And the G7 agreed on distributing a billion doses over next year. It's worth noting, though, that for the United Nations, 1 billion doses is way too little, and also it's almost too far away. When one speaks about next year, it could be in the first half of next year, it can also be in the second half of next year, and in the meantime, there is a dire need to help countries that don't have all of this available. What also is coming out of this conversation is the fact that the G7 wants to have also a preventive action on future epidemic or pandemic. That has in different ways. One way would be to increase and coordinate global manufacturing, which is a very good idea because that would mean that countries would not be always dependent on just a couple big manufacturers, but it would be possible to manufacture treatments or vaccines or whatever it's needed in the world in different places, so that that would be available to everybody much, much faster. Another preventive measure would be to improve early warning systems, which is also a very good idea, considering that we have the perfect example with COVID-19. If the warnings would have been in place earlier, it would not have spread as fast and as globally. So there would be a better way, theoretically, to stop a pandemic or an epidemic before it becomes global. And then, of course, support science and the development of future medication, treatment, vaccines, and whatever is needed to fight eventual potential future outbreaks. So that would be for COVID-19. Now the pandemic has destroyed, of course, the economies of many countries, and it is time to put some recovery plans in place. The response of the G7 wants to be a positive one in creating jobs, in supporting innovation, making sure that there is also no discrimination in the process of this recovery when it comes to race, age, gender, to just name a few. That would be for the economy. Then another point was also the point of global trade, which has been, as we know, we talked about this many times already. Countries are very keen to make global trades together that are freer, that are fairer, but it's not as easy as it sounds, and an effort has to be put into that process in order to increase prosperity and well-being of all people. In accordance with our shared values, are the words from the G7. The next point is, of course, and probably one of the most important of them all, and it's about the protection of our planet. There is absolutely no doubt that this is an emergency, and that even future pandemic or epidemic are closely linked to the development of our planet. The idea would be to cut emissions and aim to limit the rise in global temperature to 1.5 degrees. There is also the commitment to net zero no later than 2050, which is really, really very little time to reach those goals, one has to say. And that would be by reducing collective emissions over the two next decades to 2030. There is for all the leaders that met in Cornwall, there is also this feeling that it is the duty of all countries to safeguard the planet, not only for ourselves, because changes are happening extremely fast, as a matter of fact, but also, of course, for future generations and all these children that are going to otherwise have to face extremely difficult conditions, going from flooding, from wildfires, from too much snow, not enough snow, too much rain, not enough rain, heat waves, cold waves, and everything that we have begun to go through already since a few years. All of this would also be in the sense of building partnerships around the world, in investing for infrastructure, particularly in Africa, where there would be a fund for countries most in need. One can also highlight the fact that this decision is also a little bit in response with the money, the billions that China has been already putting into Africa for different projects in different fields. And there is a little bit this feeling that the rest of the world is a little bit back with helping Africa, and helping the countries most in need is, of course, in the sense of doing something good, but obviously it's also in terms of keeping control on the different continents on our planet. Another point, which is the last one but not the least important, is about protecting values, democracy, freedom, equality, the rule of law, and the respect for human rights. It's also about putting more money into education, especially when it comes to girls, which in many parts of the planet have still to fight double as much as boys in order to get a good education. I would just mention now the end of this text, which I think is a good is a good idea of what this entire meeting was about. And they write, in particular, we look forward to working alongside our G20 partners and with all relevant international organizations to secure a cleaner, greener, freer, fairer, and safer future for our people and planet. No question that all of this is, of course, also driven by some idealistic views on what our future could be. On the other hand, we cannot expect anything less from all of those leaders. Obviously, not everything will be reachable, especially, I have to say, I find a little bit worrying the aims in the environmental paragraph, which are very, very important, but will be very difficult to reach. On the other hand, obviously, one has to have very high goals and very high ideals in order to maybe get as close as possible to reaching those numbers. It was a friendly, a constructive meeting, I know that also many people are basically against those meetings because of being against globalization, for example. But in this case, one has been really seen through this pandemic then that working all alone doesn't solve the problem of any country, and that trying to team up when things get difficult give definitely a better chance to reach those goals, even if right now it does seem like a very difficult plan and a very optimistic one.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostorfer. Over there.
My pleasure.